Good morning, brethren. It's great to be back with all of you. Have I told y'all I love you? I do. We're reminded of the significance of relationships this week. We've spent a week with about 150 people up in Indiana, homeschool camp. Had a lot of interactions, a lot of Bible studies, a lot of good conversations, a lot of fun and sports and games. But throughout the week, the emphasis was on our love for one another and the relationships we built up down through the years. And so I thought I'd start out that way this morning by reminding us all that is the meaning of life. Relationships are the meaning of life. Ultimately, of course, our relationship with God is all that really matters. If we were destitute here on this earth of relationships, if we were isolated somewhere in some solitary confinement in prison, we'd still have a relationship with God. It would still be the meaning of life. Aaron touched on that. A lot of good thoughts today at the Lord's table. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. I'm going to focus in on 1 John chapter 3 with you. I love the epistle of 1 John. It's probably my favorite. You know, everybody has a favorite, and this epistle is probably my favorite because it focuses in on love throughout the 1 John. And love is the foundation of our relationship with God. It's the foundation of our relationship with one another. It's really what we need more than any other thing. Ultimately, when we spend eternity with God in heaven, we're going to be with love. He is love. And that glory and all of that beauty and all of the things that God paints in as a physical picture of heaven is really, I think, intended by God to paint a picture of the glory of a relationship with Him, of the love that we have with Him and the love that we have with one another. It will be an eternity of love. And I can't really imagine that, but I think we have a taste of that here in our relationship with God and in our relationship with one another. That's what it's all about. And John identifies that so plainly and clearly. I'd like to look at, to begin with, just look at verses 18 and following. In 1 John chapter 3, he says, "Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. We will know by this that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before Him in whatever our heart condemns us. For God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do the things that are pleasing in His sight. This is His commandment, that we believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. The one who keeps His commandments abides in Him and He in him. And we know by this that He abides in us by the Spirit whom He has given us." Now, there's a lot here, but I'll start by just telling you about what happened on Thursday in the men's Bible study. We had about 25 men sitting around in a room in a circle, and the leader of the Bible study let me just say it this way. He asked us a couple of questions. He said, "How many of you would raise your hand and say that you believe that God answers your prayers and that God works in your life and that God will give you the things that you ask for?" And everybody raised their hand. Pretty much everybody raised their hand to that. And then he said, "Now let me ask you another question." He said, "How many of you, if Jesus were to appear in this room right now, would sprint over to Him and assume that He would welcome you into His arms?" And not as many people raised their hands for that. And he was one of them, the teacher, was one of them who didn't raise his hand. And he said, I want to talk about this with you all today, because he said, this is something that I struggle with. And he turned us to a few passages in 1 John. For example, 1 John chapter 5. Well, let's go. No, 1 John 2. Let's just do it in order here. 1 John 2 and verse 28. He says, now little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. Well, we're supposed to have confidence when he comes again. We're supposed to be those people who would sprint over to him if he were to appear. We would sprint to him and assume that he would welcome us into his arms. We're supposed to have that confidence. 1 John 3, which we just read, where he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. And so I think John is saying that the ideal here is that our heart not condemn us. He wants our heart not to condemn us. He wants our heart to have confidence before God. 1 John 5, verse 14. 1 John 5 and verse 14. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. So at least these three times in John, he's talking about the confidence that we should have, that we're in a right relationship with God. Look back in verse 13 of that same chapter, 1 John 5, verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. That's what God wants from us, or of us. He wants us to know. He wants us to trust. He wants us to have confidence. The word confidence is sometimes translated boldness. Other times it's translated openness. And it really is used most often in the context of speaking freely. Speaking freely. And so that's the boldness that we're supposed to have before the throne of God in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 15 and 16. We're supposed to be able to speak freely to God because we're in a relationship with him, because we trust him, because we know he loves us, and we're talking to him and we're speaking openly. We have boldness. We have confidence before God. That's the kind of relationship that God wants to have with us, and he wants us to have that relationship with him, that confidence, that boldness, that trust, that faith, that we're in a right relationship with him. And so let's look at this. Let's dig this out a little bit. We talked about it quite a bit in the men's Bible study, and there were a lot of great thoughts that were shared over a 45-minute period of time. But no one really dug out 1 John 3. And that's where he had spent some time in the passage that we had just read. But no one talked about that after he read it. And so I thought at the end of the class it might be good for us to come back to 1 John 3 and dig that out a little bit. And put an emphasis upon what God says here about our confidence before him. And how we might have that confidence. So let's go back to 1 John 3. And beginning in verse 1, he says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we will be. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. So you can see here in this passage where the motivation to purify yourself comes from. The motivation to obey God, the motivation to be righteous, the motivation to please him comes from his love. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. He's focusing in on the relationship. God loves us. He wants to be in relationship with us. And as a result of that, he sent his son Jesus to die for our sins, as we talked about today, and manifested his love in so great a way that we can only begin to comprehend his love. And so because we see that as Christians, because as Christians we believe that and we see that love of God in sending His Son Jesus, He says we have this great hope fixed upon us and we seek to purify ourselves because we love God, because we want to be in a relationship with God, because we see His love and we value it and we know we need it and we know that that's all that matters. And so we seek to purify ourselves. Now, he contrasts that in the next few verses in this way. He says, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him continues to sin. No one who continues to sin has seen him or knows him. He's talking about someone who perseveres in sin, somebody who doesn't cease, somebody who doesn't repent, somebody who continues, somebody who doesn't care. That's what he's really getting at. Somebody who doesn't care that he's continuing to do the things that displease God. That's who he's talking about here. And so in verse 6, he says, no one who abides in him continues or practices sin. No one who practices sin has seen him or knows him. You would never be in a say you could be in a relationship with God and continue to displease him over and over and over by practicing sin in your life. You don't really love God. You're not really in a relationship with God because you're continuing to practice sin. So he says in verse 7, little children, make sure no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning, and the Son of God appeared for this purpose, to destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot practice sin, because he is born of God. Now, you know this is not talking about the occasional failing that we have in the flesh, where we give in to the flesh on occasion and we do disappoint God and we do displease him and we do sin against him. He's not talking about that. He's talking again about the person who perseveres in sin, who continues not to repent, not to put away sin, not to change, because he's serving himself. He doesn't really love God. He may love God in word, but he doesn't love him in truth. He may say he loves God, but he doesn't love him in truth, because he's continuing to do those things which he knows are wrong, and he's practicing sin. And so you can't say you're in a relationship with God and that you love God while you continue to practice sin. That's what he's getting at there. So that's, as we said in the Bible study of the men, that's kind of a different discussion. You know, if you have a doubt of your relationship with God, or a doubt in your eternal salvation, or if you're not confident and bold before God, but you're in your heart wanting to love Him and you're not aware of anything in your life that you're just determined to sin against God in, that you're unrepentant of, but you're trying to serve God. So that's what we're talking about when we talk about our boldness and our confidence before God. Sometimes our heart condemns us. Sometimes our heart needs to be reassured, and that's what we're going to get to in just a moment. But this section here is a different discussion. This section here is talking about the person who is not in a relationship with God. He may say he is, but he is not, because he is persevering in sin. He is not changing his ways. He's not trying to please God. He doesn't really love God. He just says he does, or he wants to think he does, but he doesn't really. That's a different discussion. We know what that discussion is about. That discussion is about humbling ourselves before God. That discussion is about fearing God. That discussion is about the judgment of God to those who continue to practice sin. That discussion is about a failure to love God, to say you love him, but you don't really. That's what that discussion's about. But that was not the discussion we were having in the Bible study. The discussion we were having in the Bible study was about those of us who are trying to serve God, are trying to love God, are aware of sin in our lives and then repenting of it and changing, and trying to serve God and trying to love our brother and trying to do what's right, and still maybe don't have that boldness, don't have that confidence, wouldn't sprint right over to Jesus if He showed up and expect Him to receive us into His arms because we're not bold, we're not confident. Why aren't we? Well, let's skip a few verses then and come down to verse 18 again. In between, He talks about loving your brother. Don't be like Cain. He was a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. So love your brethren. The emphasis is on loving your brethren. But now come down to verse 18. He says, little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. By this we will know that we are of the truth and will assure our heart before Him. That's what He wants. He wants us to have an assured heart before Him. He wants us to have that boldness and that confidence in our relationship with Him. He loves us. He sends His Son Jesus to die for us. We love Him because we appreciate the sacrifice that He made for us and the hope that He gives us of eternal life with Him in His love. We love Him. And so He says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth because we're loving God. We're practicing righteousness. We're loving our brethren. Now, granted, we don't do it perfectly sometimes. We fail to God sometimes. But when we do that, and we know about it, we know we've sinned, we repent. And we turn back to God and we confess our sins. And John says He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we love Him all the more because of that. Because He receives us back even when we fail Him. But here's who we are, right? We're loving, trying to love God. We're trying to love our brother. We're trying to do right. And so by this we shall know that we are of the truth and we shall assure our heart before Him. He wants us to have that assured heart. He wants us to know that we have eternal life. He wants us to be able to sprint over to Jesus if He arrived in this room right now. To run to Him, trusting Him. Now, verse 20, He says, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. That's what He wants. He wants our heart not to condemn us. He doesn't want you to live in a way in which you have a condemned heart. He doesn't want you to live unsure of your relationship with Him. He wants you to speak freely and openly. He wants you to be bold before His throne. He wants you to be assured in your heart. So notice what He says. He says, beloved, no, in verse 20, He says, whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now that's important for you to understand. And for me to understand. Because you know that you sin. On occasion, you fail God. From the mouth, from the thoughts, actions. Sometimes you're unloving in your speech. Sometimes you judge unrighteously. Sometimes you're proud. Sometimes you give into the flesh. You know these things. And because you know these things, you're at risk of your heart condemning you. God doesn't want your heart to condemn you. And here's my point. Yes, you need to repent. Yes, you need to acknowledge your sin. Yes, your heart needs to condemn you for a moment. But He doesn't want you to stay that way. He wants you to arise out of your confession of sin in joy, in peace, in boldness, speaking freely, openly confessing your love for Him and His love for you in confidence and boldness. That's what He wants. And your assurance that you can do that is this, that God is greater than your heart and He knows all things. He knows that you love Him. He knows that you're trying. He knows your heart. Now, If you're practicing sin, that's a different discussion. If you're unrepentant in an area of your life and you refuse to give up your sin, you refuse to obey God, that's a different discussion. If you intentionally, willfully sin, that's a different discussion. If you know that you ought to do certain things and you don't do them and you don't care, that's a different discussion. If you know you ought to be at the services and you're not here and you don't care, that's a different discussion. If you're watching pornography and you don't care, that's a different discussion. But if you're penitent, and if you're seeking to love God and seeking to put away sin and trying in your life to love your brethren and love your neighbor, God is greater than your heart. Your heart may condemn you. He doesn't want it to. He wants you to be bold. He wants you to be open, freely open. He wants you to trust. But when your heart condemns you, know that God is greater than your heart, and He knows all things. Trust Him. Trust His love. Trust His grace. Trust His mercy. Trust that He knows you're trying. And be bold before Him. Be open before Him. Sprint to Him if He were to appear at this very moment, and know that He would receive you. That's what God wants. That's the kind of relationship God wants with us. He wants us to know that He loves us. So do we love Him? Do we love Him? Can we put away sin in our lives because we love Him? Cease to practice sin because we love Him? Do what is right because we know that's what pleases Him, because we love Him? And when we serve God that way, then whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and He knows all things. I guess I'm done. I've said all I need to say about this. I don't know what else to say. It's right there in 1 John chapter 3. Both sides of that. It's right there. The two discussions. The one who practices sin, that's one separate discussion. The one who's seeking to love God and seeking to put away sin and seeking to serve God, trust Him. I'll read you one verse, one more verse that I remember pointing out in the men's class. Verse 23. This is His commandment, that we believe. And I usually like to translate that word trust in my mind whenever I see the word believe or belief, because I think usually, almost always, that's the primary meaning. Because sometimes we think of believe as just an intellectual thing. But I think the Bible emphasis on belief is more trust. He says that we trust in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. You see what that's saying? Where's your trust? What does it mean to trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? The name, God's name, the name of Jesus, the name in the Bible always connotes the entire nature, the entire person. And so when you trust in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're trusting in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. You're trusting in what He did for you. You're trusting in His kingship. You're trusting in His love. You're trusting in His authority. You're seeking to trust and obey Jesus Christ. He says, this is His commandment, that we trust in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He commanded us. These are His commandments, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. The two great commandments. It's all summed up in that. So that's the relationship. It's a relationship of love. And it's the greatest relationship of all time. It's the eternal relationship. And here, we're supposed to develop that kind of relationships with one another. That kind of relationship. To love one another and to value one another. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters, look, it's the only thing. We had prayer session up there on Wednesday night for 8 fallen away children of God. 8 different prayers. 1 hour and 15 minutes of prayer. I can assure you that the only thing that matters to those people who have lost their loved ones to the world is the love that they have. Choked myself up again. Yes, it was a miserable night. It was miserable. Tears were flowing freely because we love people. And we were reminded of just how much we love our children who have fallen away. They were all children who have fallen away from the Lord. And so that's just the beginning of an understanding of how much God loves us, you see. So those kinds of things are important to observe and to remember. Like Aaron was talking about today at the Lord's table and at the contribution. Really, what matters? Spiritual things. Love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. I'll stop there. I could go on forever. Thank you very much for your good attention. You may be here this morning and not yet a Christian, and we always make time at the end of our service. If you know what you need to do to become a Christian, then we would like to help you to do that. If you don't know what you need to do to become a Christian, then we would like to study with you about that, because that's the most important thing of all, is to have our sins forgiven by God so that we can be in a relationship with Him. So let's study that. But if you know what you need to do and you're ready to do that this morning, we're ready to help you do it. If you believe in Jesus and repent of your sins and confess Him before men and be buried with Him in baptism for the remission of your sins by your faith in the working of God, He will raise you up forgiven of all your sins, and you'll be able to be in relationship with Him, which is the most important thing. So if you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to come as we stand and sing.